Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home. We are glad to have you listening today, but would you like even more quality Bible teaching? If so, please visit our website where you can listen and watch past episodes and learn and interact with others as we focus on God's Word. The place to get started is our website, calvarywv.com. We would also love to have you visit with us in person. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia, at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-64-I-77 split. To learn more, visit calvarywv.com.
Well, this is Pastor Jesse Wagoner, and I want to just thank you for joining us today for our time here on our radio broadcast. I have a special treat. We actually have time for two songs from our praise team today, but I want to get you ready for our time in the Word so you can be ready ahead of time. We're going to be studying from John chapter 12, verses 27 through 33, and we're going to look at Jesus' commentary on the cross. You want to know what the cross is all about? Let's see what Jesus has to say about it. And it's all about victory, the victory that He won for Him and His Heavenly Father, and a victory He won for us because we enjoy the benefits of that victory. So get ready. John chapter 12 is coming right up as we study this victory, which is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate it very, very much.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. My God, You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the
today? Well, I think I know exactly what you and I, what we all need today as followers of Christ. We simply need this. We need to walk back. Maybe I should say it this way. We need to run back to the cross and take a good look at what God has done for us. And we're going to do that today, and hopefully this will prepare us for what will come after. But let's just focus on the cross. And I want to take you to some of Jesus' own words where He describes the accomplishments of the cross. And we're going to just see what He has to say. And I want to take you to John chapter 12. And this passage that we're going to look at here in John chapter 12 is a passage that is interesting because it comes right after the triumphal entry we celebrate at Palm Sunday. It's the last week of His life. He's sort of in the shadow of the cross that's coming up. And as this all unfolds, here's what happens. It's an interesting story that unfolds. And it's also interesting how God intervenes. And I want to start reading in verse 27 of John 12. Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour." That hour is his hour of suffering. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. And others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. What an amazing story. He has this struggle because he's going to be the sin bearer. It wasn't something he you know, was not just taking lightly. And he says this, "Father, glorify your name." And God says, "I have already done that. I'm going to do it again." Primarily, he's going to do it through what Jesus was going to accomplish. He speaks from heaven. Some heard the noise but couldn't tell what it was and tried to explain it with the voice of an angel or a thunder. We have recorded here what exactly it was said. And then Jesus makes this statement. "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. It's to verify to you that I am the Savior." And then he makes this remarkable statement about the cross. Verse 31 and 32. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Let's take those three statements and let's break them down. And let this be that which takes us back to the cross and gives us a good look. First of all, he says the world is judged. Now is the judgment of this world. This world is judged. Well, the cross, in essence, is the great dividing line in judgment. Someone has said it this way. It's the line that marks everything between lost and saved, between eternity and in joy or eternity in judgment. It's all there because what we have done with what the cross means determines our eternal destiny. And because what was accomplished by Christ on the cross guarantees that this world will be ultimately dealt with. It will be judged. It's the great dividing line. But it also says this. It says something about the superiority of Jesus. He is the one who gets to judge, accomplishes that judging, and ultimately will be filled out. Ultimately, he will return and judge this entire world. He will set up his kingdom. He will rule over all things. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is that one who is over everyone. So it speaks of his superiority. The one who can speak judgment, enact judgment, declare judgment is that one. Now, you might ask yourself, well, then why is the world not been judged? If he says, now is the judgment of this world, it's been declared here, but it's not enacted until even into our future. Why is that the case? Well, it is the case because verse 31 will give us the clue, and verse 32 will flesh that out. But I'm going to save that for just a little bit later, okay? But there's a reason for the delay between the enactment and the declaration that you see here. So we also know this. It all revolves around this inheritance, this fact that he will judge and has the right to judge. He was promised an inheritance. And you can read about this, and I encourage you to go back there and read it at some point. In the second Psalm, Psalm 2, he talks about where God says, "This day I have begotten you." So God the Father, this relationship with God the Son, this only begotten one, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God promises he will inherit all the kingdoms of the world. That's exactly what Satan offered Jesus in the temptation. "I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you the same deal if you just worship me." You don't have that nastiness of the cross. You don't have that delay of waiting. Well, we know Jesus brushed that temptation aside. But it all flows into this promise. So when Jesus says this hour is coming, when he goes to the cross, he simply says this. He simply says, "Now is the judgment of this world." This is the moment. This is the marker. This is the conclusion. This is what will put everything into its place. He will judge all things. Now, we live in a world that's, how should we say, in turmoil, messed up. Probably not any more turmoil than many people in the past. This pandemic of coronavirus, COVID-19, is not the only pandemic this world has seen. There's the bubonic plague. There's, the pandemic of the early 1900s. You know, this is not new. There's been world wars. There's been famines. There's been disasters. We understand this world is a mess, but ultimately it is under judgment, and the one who will judge it is the one who is in charge. That should do three things for us. Let me just give you these three things, and we'll talk about them again later. Number one, we should think differently. We should think differently. We should really do this. Sometimes this is what causes us some fear and anxiety. We start with where we are, and we kind of extrapolate out into the future. What does that mean in the future? You know, I'm here. Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get bad? Is it going to get difficult? Is it going to get awful? What if we started at another point? What if we started where God promises us we'll be and work our way back to the present? Let's go to the fact that this world ultimately will be judged, that Jesus is the one who judges. He is the one who rules. He is the superior one. He's promised us a kingdom. He's promised us an eternity. He's promised us a home in the Father's house. He's promised us all these great things. Let's start there and then extrapolate back to the present. If we start with the end in mind, it will help us to think differently. And that will help us to feel better. We'll feel more confident. We'll feel more joyful. We'll feel more hopeful. We'll feel more free and free from that anxiety and stress. Let's think differently because this world is judged. Let's feel better knowing that to be true. And then that sense of security then gives us space where we can worship and serve more. That we can worship and we can lift our voices and say, thank you, Lord. We can, as we often do, as we gather around the Lord's table and partake of communion, we can show forth his death. That we can serve other people, help those that need to know the Savior, and help those who are needing a helping hand. We can serve more if we are whole, if we're feeling better because we're thinking differently. Here's what we do. We run back to the cross. This is what you need today. This is what I need today. You need to run back to the cross and remember that because of the cross, this world is under judgment, his judgment. It will ultimately be enacted later, but it's been declared here. Now, the second is related to it. If you will see in verse 31, now's the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Isn't that good news? Well, the ruler of the world here is Satan, the devil. Now, isn't it interesting that he's called here by Jesus, well, the authority of Jesus himself, he is called the ruler of this world. That explains a lot, doesn't it? If Satan is the ultimate ruler of this world in this present time frame, that explains a lot. That's why there's so much hatred. That's why there's particularly hatred about godly things, hatred against Christ, hatred of Christians, hatred of right. That's why there's the hatred of life and bigotry and all the stuff that goes on. You know, we live in a world that people are calling for justice, social justice, and as much as that can be accomplished and improved, all for it. But you understand that the ruler over all things is not wanting justice. He's not wanting fairness. He's not wanting wrongs made right. He's wanting to make the right and replace it with wrong. He's the ruler of this world, so understand that. But the good news is, he says, now is the ruler of this world will be cast out. Now, again, it's not enacted till later, and we're told over in Revelation chapter 12, and I shared that some months ago when we went verse by verse through Revelation, that he is cast out of heaven, eventually he'll be cast out of the earth into the abyss in chains, and ultimately he will be permanently dealt with, completely apart, no longer a menace to the race of humankind, no longer a tempter, no longer causing trouble. The ruler of this world will be replaced with the righteous ruler of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you might ask why that delay. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But also, this fact that Jesus declares judgment upon Satan. Remember we said his judgment on the world declares Jesus' superiority over all things. The fact that he declares Satan to be cast out, will be cast out. He declares that. The fact that he declares that says something about Satan's inferiority. If you're a student of the Bible, someday we'll get into this in a little more depth, but Satan's great desire has always been that he wants to prove that he is God's equal. God and I are the same. God is not over me. I'm not under him. I am equal. I will be like the Most High God. Well, this is the ultimate moment in the cross when Jesus died and when he rose again, this crucifixion resurrection event, as we call it, that just tells us once and for all that Jesus, God, is superior, and Satan, the ruler of this world, is inferior. Well, you might say, well, didn't Satan have a hand in getting Jesus to the cross? Well, yes. But if Jesus would have stayed in the grave, Satan would have been the victor. It would have been proven that he was just another con man like everybody else. But instead, Jesus' prediction of resurrection came true. God raised him from the dead. He rose to life everlasting. That being the case, he is the victor. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. And Satan's designs, Satan's efforts, his schemes and conspiracies all have come to nothing. And someday he will be cast out even from this world and away from the race of mankind. Well, let's think about what that does for us. Let's go back over that same little trilogy I just mentioned a moment ago. We should think differently. When we feel like we're in danger, when we feel pulled to that dark side, let's remember, Satan is defeated. That's not where we're living. That's not our destiny. That's not our future. Sometimes we live in this scary world, but we need to come back to the cross and see that Jesus says, because of the cross, he was lifted up. Because of the cross, Satan's doom is declared, and someday it will be enacted. And that should help us to feel better. Why? Because there is hope. There is that we can replace the jagged, jarring moments of life with joy. We can just move forward anticipating what God has for us. And that future out there is glorious. With that in mind, we should feel better. And as we feel better, because we're thinking differently, we've run back to the cross. With that in mind, that gives us space. That gives us space to serve. There's someone that you could serve today, someone you could reach out. Just pick up that phone and call that person. Encourage that person. Offer what you have to help them. You give faithfully to your church. You serve faithfully in your church. Thank you for that. Continue that, please. You can serve others by telling them about the Savior who died, the one who was lifted up. May God help us to engage in all those areas that we would serve. And then to worship. He wants us to just say what we feel. Thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to die for me. Thank you, Lord, that you love me enough that you have become my Savior. So I want you to find space. Right now in this worship service, I want you to find space in life just to do those three things. First of all, think differently. Really just think differently. Catch yourself when you're thinking and filling your minds with what's the here and now rather than starting out there and working your way back. Fill your minds with what Jesus has declared. You know, sometimes we fill our minds with all sorts of things that consume our time. We're scrolling on our devices. We're watching the television. We're reading wherever we're reading from. And we're filling our minds with all this information. And it might not even be bad information. We want to be informed. But sometimes the quantity of that content just overwhelms us and can discourage us. Make sure you carve out time to be in this Word, to get alone with God. That you reserve time for worship, that you go to church, even if you're doing it virtually like we're doing it now. That we come together around Him, His throne, that we get together with other people, that we serve, use our gifts, we get busy for God. All those things are going to move us forward as we walk with Him. And that's going to then help us feel better. You know, even as we are feeling better helps us worship, our worship then kind of helps our feelings and our thoughts, and it all becomes this sort of a snowball effect of growing us in the Lord. So here's the first two things we think about. This is what Jesus declared. From his own lips, he's describing the significance of the cross. Now is the judgment of this world. Declared here, enacted when he comes back and sets up his throne and rules over this world for 1,000 years. And after that 1,000 years expired, create new heavens and new earth where the kingdom of God will expand throughout the universe. What a great news that is. So he also says in verse 31, now the ruler of this world, he's the reason for the mess. He's the ruler. That does explain a lot. Will be cast out. Someday he'll be removed as a tempter, as a menace. It shows his inferiority. It shows Christ's superiority. And we need to think differently, feel better, serve and worship more. Now there's one more component, verse 31. Remember I said, well, if the world is judged, now's the judgment of this world. And if Satan is judged and someday will be cast out, what's the weight? I mean, if you have your enemy kind of rock back on his heels, you take him out. You finish the job. But there's a reason for the wait. There's a reason for the delay. And it's a reason that you and I have greatly and will eternally benefit from. Look at the next verse. And if I am lifted up from the earth, and that's a picture of crucifixion, because it says in the next verse, here's where John inserts his commentary. This he said, signifying by what death he would die, crucifixion. The Jews executed criminals by stoning. Remember Stephen over in the book of Acts. Romans executed by crucifixion, lifting up on this cross. So it's signifying the death he would die. It says, if I be lifted up, here's what's going to happen. We'll draw all peoples to myself. Literally says, I will draw all men to myself. But men is used as races of people, not as individuals. It does not mean that every person will be drawn to the Lord. It's not universal salvation. But it is simply this. From every people group, not just the Jews, not just a select few, but for the whole world, there's going to be people that will come to him. I'm reminded of a verse in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, where it says, speaking of Christ, he's worthy to take the scroll, and they were singing this song, and it says, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, the shedding of blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And it's true throughout this delay period. From every nation and tribe and tongue and people, he has called people to be part of his body. He's called people to be his children, to be citizens of heaven. And he's called you if you're one of his children. And you understand, to the Jews, this was a novel concept. They thought the only people who are going to be saved are Jews, Gentiles left out. But he says he will draw people from every people group, from every corner of the globe to himself. And this delay in judging Satan, casting him out, and the ultimate judgment of the world, declared but not enacted, is a delay period where people could come and repent. People can come and embrace him. And thankfully, he's waited enough until we could come to him. No one is left out. This includes everybody, Jew and Gentile, no matter your background, no matter what your sinful life has been like, you're just available for this grace that he wants to give you. And notice it does require the cross. Notice what he says in this verse. And if I am lifted up from the earth, the cross is not optional. The cross is essential. It's essential for our salvation. It's essential for us to be saved. That's the reason we keep running back to the cross and focus on it and rest upon it. And let me also say this. No one's left out. It's available to everybody. It's available to you. Perhaps you're watching today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I'd encourage you to not put off placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize that he died on the cross for you to pay sin's price. He loved you enough to do that. And all we need to do, we don't have to work our way into salvation. We don't have to please God by doing good works. We accept his gift of salvation, and then we want to. He'll change us. He'll move us and motivate us to do good works. With that in mind, if you need to talk to someone, if you need help, maybe you have a Christian friend that could help you, but you can contact us here. I'd love to talk with you. Other of our pastors would love to talk to you. We'd love to just answer your questions, help you fully understand what it means to be saved, and invite you to put your faith in the Savior. But maybe you can make that decision right now, and maybe you're ready. Maybe you just need to even just pause this video and spend some time talking to the Lord. Tell him that you know you're a sinner. That shouldn't be hard. We all are. Tell him that you now believe that Jesus died for you and you're accepting his free gift of salvation, forgiveness of sins, promise of eternal life, because you now believe that he died for you. It's as simple as that. We'd love to hear if you've made that decision. Let us know about it. We'd love to rejoice with you, help you get started in your new walk, your new life in Christ. Or if you need to talk to someone, we stand ready to do that. Let's read these verses one more time. This is glorious stuff. He simply says, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. He died for you. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him praise. Let's worship him. Let's think differently. Let's think on these truths, that he's drawn you to himself. That'll help you feel differently. I wasn't left out. I'm included. I'm significant, not because of anything I've done or what other people say or don't say. I'm significant because I'm loved by God. And as we feel better about ourselves, then we have capacity to serve. We have capacity to worship, and let's continue to worship him now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time we've spent in your word. Thank you for helping us walk back to the cross one more time. Thank you for helping us understand what you've done for us. Help us to think differently. Help us to feel better. Help us to serve and worship more, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.